Okay, today's daf is Pei Gimel. We're going to finish the sixth parak, start the seventh. Okay, we'll go back just for a quick minute to the Mishnah on Pei Bet Amud Bet. Hamavir chavit mimakom lemakom ushvara. If you're carrying, you're someone who's a worker who's supposed to carry somebody's barrels from one place to another, and they break, this goes back to Hamaniach et Hakad. If you remember, we had a whole discussion there about whether nitkal is poshea. If you have an accident, you slip, is that, are you considered a posher or you're not? There was a machloket, it's going to connect to here. Bein shomer chinam, bein shomer sachar yishava, that's Tanakama, which the Gemara then says is Rabbi Meir's opinion. I'm just reviewing a little bit of from the end of the daf from yesterday. So that's Rabbi Meir, who basically says that nitkal, in this it sounds like nitkal is lav posher, and in the other sugya we saw that nitkal was posher according to Rabbi Meir, so the Gemara tries to rectify that. And Rabbi Elazar in the end says, I'm just kind of giving you the synopsis of the Gemara at the end of the page. Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Elazar the Emora, says it must be there were two versions of what Rabbi Meir actually held about whether Nitzkal is Poshea or not. Remember, that means somebody has an accident. I slipped and fell. It wasn't my fault, right? Is that really not your fault or is it somewhat your fault? You know, you're supposed to kind of be in control of your body and not allow yourself to fall. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Zev Ze Yishava, so he agrees that whether it's a Shomer Chinam, whether it's a Shomer Sachar Yishava, that is the halacha. V'tamea ani im yicholim Zev Ze Lishava. However, I don't really understand how it could be that they can swear, and as I have an issue with it, which is exactly what we're going to deal with in the Gemara, is what exactly was his issue. And then what the Gemara did was, in addition to dealing with Rabbi Meir's Shita, it brought this Braita, in which it was clear that the Tanakhama in our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. It brought an additional opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who distinguished, if you look at the third line of the Gemara there, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shomer Chinam Yishava, Nosei Sachar Yishalem. He dafka distinguishes between the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar, which did not appear in our Mishnah. So let's start. So already I summarized the first part about Rabbi Meir. We're going to start from right after that, six lines from the bottom about Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so Rabbi Elazar thinks that there's two versions of what Rabbi Meir held. Is nitkal posher, is nitkal lav posher? And then we're going to deal now with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Va'ata Rabbi Yehuda lemeimar, Rabbi Yehuda comes to say, Shomer chinam yishavan osei sachar yishalem. Hai kidine v'hai kidine. Basically, what's the issue here? We know that a posher, right? Anyone who's poshea is always going to be chayav, no matter what, whether he's a shomer chinam, a shomer sachar. Okay? When it comes to gneva v'aveda, what do we say? The shomer chinam is patur, right? He swears, patur b'shvua, and the shomer sachar is chayav. So now, what's the assumption? That if somebody slips and falls, it's the type of accident that's similar to gneva v'aveda. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says very simply. Shomer chinam swears, shomer sachar pays. It's basically like gneva v'aveda. Okay, otherwise you could say, right, it's in a different category and it's not chayav, right? They can both swear. It's kind of less than that. So he says, haikadine v'haikadine. V'ata Rabbi Lezer l'meimar. So now, what is Rabbi Lezer coming to say? Because he had that weird shita. Yes, they both swear. However, I don't really understand why they swear. So what is he saying? In Gemara ki Rabbi Meir. The halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Umiu tameh ani im yicholim zev zeh lishava. So now we have to understand that statement. Bishlama shomer chinam mishtaba. Delo pashava. We can understand why shomer chinam is nishba. Because just like in Eva Baveda, he's nishba. Because he didn't do anything wrong. Ela shomer sachar amai mishtaba. Kilo pashana mishlumei bai. Right? A shomer sachar has to pay, right? If it's one step down from gneva from pshia, he should have to pay. And not only that, but afilu shomer chinam, now we're going to show what's the issue even with the shomer chinam. Nami, hatinach b'makom midrom. If it was a slope, if it was a slope so we could understand, then it's really not his fault that he slipped. But shalom b'makom midrom, but if he's walking on totally flat terrain, mimatze mishtaba delo pasha. Right? How could he possibly swear, right? How can he swear, say, I didn't do anything wrong, I wasn't pushed out. What do you mean? You tripped in a very flat, easy terrain to walk on. How could you say you didn't trip? V'afilu b'makom midron, and even in a place where there's a slope, nami. Hatinach echadalei karaya. That's if you slip in a makom midron. So we understand if there's no one who saw, who could say, listen, it really wasn't his fault. So we can understand. He could swear it wasn't my fault. But if there's someone who saw what was happening, then that person should have to come forward, bring a proof, and then the guy will be patur, but he shouldn't swear in a place where there's evidence. D'tanya, how do we know this? And now we're going to bring Isi ben Yehuda's opinion. Isi ben Yehuda omer, ein ro'eh, shvuat Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem. Right? When nobody sees, that's when he should swear. Which implies that what? Ha yesh ro'eh, but if someone did see, then yavi ra'ayavi pater. Okay, so what did we say here? What's the problem? Let's just summarize. Number one, in a makom where it's flat, how could he say it was not poshea? In a place where there was a slope, again, it depends on whether someone saw or not. If someone saw, then we shouldn't take his swear. We should bring evidence to say whether the guy... What are we assuming? We're assuming that the witness could tell whether it was his fault or not. Okay, whether he was negligent when he slipped, he was looking up at the sky, or something distracted him and then he slipped and fell. What?
Blame the iPhone.
Blame the iPhone, exactly. Was he texting? Okay, so... Then, according to Isi ben Yehuda, you have to bring a raya. And therefore, comes Rabbi Lezer and he says, I don't understand what kind of shvuah we're talking about. Only maybe in a case where there was a midron and
no edim,
then. But not in any other case, it doesn't make any sense. So, Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he comes to answer this question. What does he say? Shvuah zo takanat chachamim hi. Shim iata omer kein ein lecha adam hamavir chavit lechavero mimakom lemakom. Okay, so now he says very simply, this isn't a shvua mibchina al-chatit, okay, from Ikar Adin, let's say, not mibchina al-chatit, but Ikar Adin. Really, by the letter of the law, he shouldn't swear, okay? In other words, either he really is poshea, or we should bring proof from witnesses, but if we start to do this kind of a thing, nobody will ever agree to do this kind of a job because there's too much risk involved. So therefore, the Chachamim allowed him to exempt himself by taking a shvuah. And now we're going to see in a minute what exactly does he swear then. Okay, so in order, this is another one of those like Prizbal and other ones that we've seen that if we take the halacha so literally, we won't have a system, you know, a good business system that works. People won't want to do certain jobs, etc. So, now we're going to see hechi mishtaba. So how does he swear? What does he say? Amarava shvua shelo b'chavana shvartia. Okay, he takes a shvua that I didn't do it on purpose. Okay, so now we're going to see, right, there's a difference between accident and I didn't do it on purpose, right? There's big murky waters in between that. So it could be this guy was a little negligent, but he didn't do it on purpose. Like he was texting, but, you know, it wasn't like he said, well, I'm texting and, you know, and therefore, in order that I trip and fall and break this guy's thing. I just wasn't careful enough. But he swears that he didn't do it on purpose. Va'ata Rabbi Yehuda lemeimar, and then Rabbi Yehuda comes to say, no, shomer chinam yishava. Yes, that's true in a shomer chinam case where he was doing this for free. But no se sachar yishalem. Hai kedine v'ha kedine. Va'ata Rabbi Elazar lemeimar. So then what does Rabbi Elazar come to say? Im gemara ka Rabbi Meir, umiu tameani imicholim zevzeli shava. By the way, there's a version of this Gemara that doesn't have this because you're going to see this is all totally repetitive. And some people say that this whole section is really just doesn't belong. Okay, it shouldn't even be in here because it's just a repeat of what we did. Excuse me. Bishlama shomer chinam mishtaba shelo pashava. Ela shomer sachar amai mishtaba. Kilo pashanami bai shlume. So at least for us, it'll just be good chazara, right? We understand shomer chinam why he swears he didn't do anything wrong. But Shomer Sachar, how can he swear? Kilo Pasha, right? Even if he wasn't Pasha, I would still have to pay. V'afilu Shomer Chinam Nami, hati nachum komedron, shalom komedron, mimatzi mishtaba, shalom Pasha, right? If it's flat surface, how can he swear that he didn't do anything wrong? V'afilu komedron Nami, hati nach hechad alei karaya, hechad yikaraya, neite raya v'yipater, detayin isi ben Yehuda omer, emru ashvat Hashem tiyah ben shnehem, ha yesh ro'e yavi raya v'yipater. Okay, end. Okay, very strange why this is here. It seems like it was just accidentally copied.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Printing error.
Yeah, printing error. Okay, now we're going to talk about a case that happens. Hahu gavra tekama avar chavita dechamra beriskita demechosa. He was carrying a chavit of wine, a barrel of wine, in the, I forget how they translate, ristika? In the
town square.
Okay, the town square of Mechosa. Vitavra beziza demechosa. There were things jutting out, and it broke from the protrusions, from the walls. Atalakame de Rava, Amale ristikad mechoza shrichei ba inshe. So they come before Rava, and Rava says, listen, in this area, there's in the town square, there's a lot of people. So therefore, zil aite raya vipater. It's go bring, actually, it shouldn't be epater. I'm sure that changes the word to. Epater means I will be pator. But here, what does it say?
Vipater.
Yeah, okay. And he will be, it's really right, and he will be pator. Okay, he, right. Ipater is actually, it's not me, it's. Ipater is hifil, it's hipater, and you will become patur. Okay, so in other words, if you want to be patur, right, don't take a shvua like the Mishnah said, but like Isi ben Yehuda said, right, bring a ra'aya, if there's a case where there's people there, she should bring a ra'aya, and then you will be exempted. Bring proof that it broke on these protrusions. Amar le Rav Yosef Berei, keman, ki'isi, right, and who's this like ki'isi? Is that what, you know, is Rav Yosef, his son, says, who are you doing this? Like Isi? I'm alayin ki Isi usfiralan kavate. Okay, yes, I'm doing it like Isi and I hold like him. Another case. Ahu gavra da amrle lechavre. Zil zavanli arba mea dani chamra. Okay, go buy for me 400 barrels of, is it barrels, dani? You have barrels of wine. Azal zavanle, he goes and he buys from 400 barrels of wine. Lisof ate lekame. So then he comes before him. Amrle. He brings in these 400 barrels of wine that are all spoiled. He says, yes, well, I bought for you good wine, but in the meanwhile, it's spoiled. So they go before Rava. He says, if there were 400 barrels of wine that's spoiled, people would know about it. And therefore, right, again, what's he going to say? Zil ay teraya demeikara ki mizavna lehu chamra ma'al yahava v'ipater. He says, if this guy was selling 400 barrels of spoiled wine, everyone would know. So therefore, what does he say? Go bring proof that this wine wasn't spoiled, right, that the wine was good wine, and then you can be patur. But if you can't bring proof, then the assumption is that you're responsible. And again, right, the reason why we're bringing this has nothing to do with our case, right? It's all about this Isi ben Yehuda. Amarle Rav Yosef Berei, keman ki Isi. So Rav Yosef's son says, who, you're doing like Isi? Amarle in ki Isi, usfirolan kavate. Okay, yes, and I hold like him. Okay, you wonder if they were actually, right, once Rav Yosef asked his father, are you doing this like Isi the first time, you would think that he didn't need to ask him the second time. Right? The story almost seems to imply two things, I'll just say about it. One is, seems surprising that he's holding like Isi. That it's not clear that Isi was such a, you know, well-accepted psak, possibly. The second thing is, it's very likely that there were two versions as to which was the story that Rav Yosef asked his father, oh, are you doing like Isi? And one said it was this story, one said it was a different story. They're both very different stories. Anyway, okay. Itkin Rav Chiya bar Yosef b'sichra, hanu didaru b'igra v'itbar, nishalim palga. I forget what the story is. One second. Daru b'igra mot. Right. This is people who take. Okay. Rashi explains the mot kafuf be'emtza'o. There's basically different ways that people would carry things, right? You think of the Meraglim, they always have that pole, right? They're both carrying a pole. So there were different kind of poles. Poles that were made for two people to carry loads on, poles that were made for one person. This is like an in-between one, that you would bend in the middle, and you would hold one person, but it was kind of heavy for one person. So there were these people who were using this igra and carrying it. This one guy, right? There was one person using it, the itbar, and it broke. So nishal and palga. Okay, so he has to pay half of what he lost. My time, nefesh lecha vizutar l'trei, because it's too much for one, but it's too little for two. It's like just in between, and therefore it's karav la'ones v'karav l'pshia. Okay, so it's kind of in between, right? It's likely there'll be an accident, but it's also like it's likely to say it's really not his fault. Because it really is sort of made for one, but it's also karav l'pshia, because on the other hand, it's a little heavy for one. Now, bedigla, okay, so Rashi says, what's this? Eitz mefutzal b'roshov, kosher bo masah shnei b'nei adam, u'machnis tzavaro, he puts his neck in between the two things, and he puts it on both his shoulders. Okay, so this is something made for two, and one guy is carrying it. So mishalim kula, he pays the whole thing. Rabba Barchana, okay, it's a mistake, it's not Hanan, it's Rabba Barchana, Tavule Hanu Shkolai Chavita Dechamra. Shaka liglimai. Okay, so now he had these people who were taking, who were carrying, right, his chaviot, and they broke them. So what did he do? Shaka liglimaihu. So he grabs their, okay, today we're going to see a bunch of stories where there's a certain expectation of rabbis, possibly, or leaders, to be held accountable in a different way than other people. So what happens? These guys broke his chaviot of wine, Rabbi Bar Chana. Okay, he was an important rabbi. We've heard of him before. So these guys broke them. So what did he do? Shaka liglimayu. He takes their cloaks as collateral until they basically pay up. Atu amru l'rav. So they go, and they go complain to Rav, and they say, hey, he took our stuff. Amar le, hav lehugli mayu. He says, give them back their cloaks. Okay, you have no right to take their cloaks. Amar le, so Rabbi Bar Chana says to him, dina hachi? Is that really the law? Like, do I not have rights? They broke my stuff. I should have rights to you know, get payback, because it was Pshia, he says. So now, Amar le, in, yes, it is the law. Listen to what law it is. Leman telech b'derech tovim. Okay, in other words, you have to be held to a higher standard. He's basically saying, the din is, this is lifnei mishurat hadin. Okay, you're an important person, you have to be held to a higher standard. Okay, so yav lehu glimayu, he gave them back their cloaks, and he gave up on actually getting his money for the barrels that they carried for him. But what's left still? Amrule, aniye ana, v'tarchina kule yoma. Okay, they say, hey, we're poor, and we worked all day. In other words, yes, we broke them, but it wasn't our fault. And, right, in other words, here, what did they see? They see that Rav didn't blame them for what they did. They said, oh, we want more, right? We want to get paid our salary. V'kafinan, what does this mean here, v'kafinan? V'kafinan v'leitle lamidi. Right, I guess
they were starving.
Right, they're right. They were hungry, and we have nothing to eat. Okay? Amar le, zil habi grayu. So Rav says to him, go pay, right? Rav Chana, you have to pay their wages. Amar le, dina hachi, says the law this way. Amar le, barochot tzadikim tishmor. That's the end of that pasuk, okay? In other words, you have to be shomer the way of the tzadikim, okay? And therefore, you have to, again, hold yourself to a higher standard. Okay, remember this for the end of the daf today. When we get to our final story today, we'll see how it connects. Okay, it's true, it's a different parak, but and also I wanted to point out, we've seen this before in Masechtot or sometimes in Prakim. Here ends the parak of Hasocher et Ha'umnim, and what are they basically trying to say? Yes, we learned all these laws, but in the end, if someone's poor and you hire them to do work, it may be lo magi alehem to get their maskoret, but you know, you might want to go beyond the law and treat your workers properly. So it's a very nice way to end the parak in terms of realizing that there's a societal thing going on here, and it's not just, you know, a sociological thing, not just the letter of the law, but there's other issues at stake here. Hadron alach ha-sofra to omnim. Now we're going to start the seventh parak. Okay, we're still in workers, okay? It's not really the end. Ha-socher ta-po'alim ba-amar lahem. Do you want this? The Hebrew? He hires workers and he says, listen, now the standard day, we'll see, was from Netzach Hama till either Shkir or Tzedek Kochavim. Now he says, I want you to work earlier than typical and later than the typical. But the assumption is that he didn't tell them this when he hired them, and he only tells them this after already. Like they're working and they stop working, and he says, what are you talking about? I paid you extra to work longer hours. Okay, we'll see that in the Gemara. So, makom shenagu shelo lashkim v'shelo la'ariv. It's a place where that's not typical behavior. Eino rashai l'chofan. He can't force them to. Makom shenagu lazun yazun. Okay, now we're going to say it all depends on where you live. If it's a place where people pay, where people feed their workers, then you have to feed them. L'sapek b'mitika yisapek. Okay, if you're supposed to just give them basic, Rashi says liftan, like some basic bread, then you give that. Hakol k'minhag ha-medina. Everything is according to what the minhag ha-medina is. So what this means is, if you stipulated specifically that you were doing against the minhag ha-makom when you hired the workers, then you're allowed to do that, if they agreed. But if you didn't stipulate and later you claim, hey, I paid you more money because of that, they can say, I don't know what you're talking about. I just was doing it k'minhag ha-medina. We'll see, obviously, well, what if he says, I paid you more? Didn't you realize that that was what it was for? They can claim they thought it was for something else. By the way, we saw this story before. He tells his son, go hire us workers. Halachu pasach lahem mizonot. The son promised them mizonot. Ukeshabai tzel aviv amar lo b'ni, afilu imatau sedem kesudat shlomo b'sha'ato, lo yatzati yedecho v'tchai imahem shehem b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Even if you promise them you'll feed them the nicest meal on the planet, it still won't be good enough, okay? Even if you say as good as Shlomo HaMelech's meal, because they're the sons of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, okay, this is, yeah, the joke is, right? They're Jewish. You need to give them a ton of food, right? Jews eat lots of food. So here's the source. So they're the sons of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore, no matter how much you give them, they're always going to claim it's not enough. And therefore, I can't believe you promised them this. Ela, ad shelo yatchilu b'melacha, before, quickly, before they start working, go stipulate that I only meant, right, that it was pat v'kitnit, I'm only going to give you very basic food, and therefore, and then it'll be okay, okay? But basically, once they start working, and then what's the issue? If they haven't started working, then they could say, hey, listen, that's not good enough for me, we're not interested in this deal. But once they start working, they can no longer, they have no out. And therefore, you'll have no choice but to have to feed them whatever they demand. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, lo hayat tzarich lomar, he didn't even need to say that, okay? Let's just put it this way. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Matthew was a little bit overly cautious, right? You can imagine, this happens all the time, by the way, in labor laws, right? If you've gotten burned once before by a worker, you're overly careful after that to be very careful what you stipulate in the beginning and all the issues. So what does he say? You really didn't need to say that because I called him Minhag HaMedina. It would have been the basics, right? It would have been according to the Minhag HaMedina, which obviously wasn't to supply endless supply of food. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to say, if you hire workers and all of a sudden you come and say, hey, I expected you to work earlier, I expected you to work late, pshita, obviously they don't need to work extra more than the expected. So they say, no, it's when you added them, you didn't pay them, let's say, right, our old numbers of 3 a day, right? You paid them 4 zuzim a day. So then you up their salary, and therefore ma'u detema, you could say amar lehu hadetape lehu ayigraihu adata demaktamitu mechashkitu. The reason why I upped your salary and offered you more money was so that you wake up early and stay. Well, you would get up early, you know, start working early and stay late. Behadai b'kamash malan. But then that comes to teach us the Mishnah de amrule. They can say to him, and therefore discount his claim. Just like we saw in the last parak, they can say, oh, we just thought you wanted better work. We were going to do for you better work. This shows, by the way, that you can do better work in the same amount of time, right? So that just because people work more hours doesn't necessarily mean you're getting better work. You might be getting more work, but not necessarily better work. So therefore, they can claim that, and therefore they have no claim against him. Okay. I'm sorry. He has no claim, right? He cannot insist that they work earlier and later. Amarish Lakish. Poel b'knisato mishalo b'yitziato mishal balabayit. Sh'ne'emar tizrach ha'shemesh yaspun bel ma'onotan yir batzun yitze adam lefo'alo ulavadoto adei arif. Okay, so what is he saying now? This is an interesting halacha. That a worker can basically clock his travel time b'knisato. When he goes in, it's, right, b'knisato means when he finishes the day and he goes back to the city, and he has to travel, right, in those days, right, let's say he walked for half an hour to get home, okay, that half an hour cannot be clocked on work time. In other words, he has to end the day, okay, and end the day at the end of the work day, and then go home. His travel time can't be part of his salary. But be it siato, but when he gets up in the morning and he goes to work, Michel Balabayit. Okay? That time he can clock his work time. So meaning the idea is you wake up at Zricha and then you go to work. Some of the Mefreshim say that this is so that you can daven, because there you're worried about davening times, okay? Not so clear that that's the case. There are some interesting nafkaminas about this. First, let me explain the pasuk, and then we'll explain. Tizrach Hashemesh Yasfun. So when the sun rises, Yasfun Ve'el Monotan Yerbitzun. Okay, so this is the animals, right? When the sun rises, the animals. It's the pasuk before is all about the animals. They go back into their place, Okay, and then, so the animals kind of go home, and then Yetzei Adam Lefoalo, he goes out, when does he go out according to this pasuk? At Zricha. He goes out to work at Zricha, which makes it sound like his travel time is, because if we talk about that the workday starts at Zricha, what it really means according to this is, well, he starts to go to work at Zricha. But lavodato aday arev. But then he finishes his work in the erev, which means basically he has to work till erev, and then only after that can he go home. Okay, so there's some interesting halachot about this. Okay, there was some shooting that related to this. There was a shochet who agreed to leave a city, a particular city. It comes up in the Shut Chakrei Lev. He agreed to leave a city to go. To go work. They hired him to be a shochet, and it took him a few weeks' time to get to the city. So he tried to claim that I should get paid for that time, and they said, well, we're only going to pay you from when you got to our town. So the Chokrei Lev actually paskid that he got paid from the time he left the other town to go to the city, which is really interesting. Then there was another case of, I saw this in the Morot Afayomi, there was another case of a guy who had a huge library, and he said, I'm going to bequeath it to my oldest son or one of his sons, and under the condition that he moved to Israel. And the guy starts getting ready to move to Israel, and obviously takes some time, and he has like 2 years to move to Israel. And in the meantime, he already took a trip there to kind of set things up, and then he dies and before he actually makes it to Israel. So the psak ended up being that because he had started the process already and had already made a trip there, and then also a letter came in right then when he died that said that his job that he was working on was all sorted. So basically his sons got the inheritance of the Sifriyat. It wasn't split among the other, you know, the idea was going to be split among all his sons or just this one son. And that, again, the Schar Halicha had already happened, and therefore based on that. So you can see interesting halachot that come out of this kind of thing. So now the Gemara says, so Rish Lakish basically says, that's how it works. So the Gemara says, what do you mean it? What do you mean? But lech zehecha nihigi. But shouldn't this be the kind of thing that is based on minhag hamakom? In some places, the expectation is that you know, your hours get clocked on, your travel time is included, and in some places, travel time isn't included, right? Like nowadays in Israel, people don't include their travel time and their hours in general. It's not something you could say, oh, on the way to work, well, that just kind of want to, clock, unless you have a particular agreement. So, what do they answer? No, what Rish Lakish was talking about is Bi'ir Chadasha. It's in a new city, right? Where people just set up a new town and there's no minhag hamakom. So they say, what do you mean? B'nechse meheicha ka'atu. Why don't we try to see where the people came from? Okay, in other words, wherever they came from, that's going to be the new minhag hamakom. So they say, no, B'nekotai. It's a place where people, right? It's a new town that was made up of all different people who came from all different places, and their minhagim were all different, and therefore there's no minhag hamakom. And in that case, we would hold by what Rish Lakish says. Otherwise, we're going to go by the minhag hamakom. Ibai Dame, or another answer to this question about what's he talking about, isn't there minhag hamakom? Da amar lehu, da agritu li kepoel d'oraita. If he says, I'm going to pay you like a poel d'oraita, so now it's weird, this pasuk isn't exactly from the Torah, right? It's from Tehillim, if you notice. So it's strange, but he says, I paid you like a poel d'oraita, and the question is, what's the din Torah? As if he's saying, I don't care about minhag hamakom, I care only about din Torah, what's din Torah? And then the din Torah is this. Okay, so if we're just going by din Torah, we're going to go by, you get paid for travel time on the way there, but not on the way back. Okay, now we're going to darshan this pasuk that we quoted. My dichtiv, okay, here's the pasuk before. Teshech choshech vi laila, bo termos kol chayoto ya'ar. Okay, so it's going to be nighttime, and that's when all the animals, right, the wild animals are about. Teshech choshech vi laila, ze ha'olam hazeh. Okay, this is our world, right? This is one of those depressing, right? This pessimistic attitude. The olam hazeh is like Laila. Bo termos kol chayoto ya'ar, right? That's when all the bad guys are going to be about. Elu rishaim shebo. Shedomin l'chaya shebayar, right? The rishaim are like these animals coming, you know, lying in, right, ready to attack in the forest. Then tizrach hashemesh yasfun ve'el ma'onotan yirbatzun. So what does this mean? Tizrach hashemesh latzadikim. Then the sun will rise on the tzadikim. Yasfun, who's going to be yasfun? The rishaim legehenom. Okay, the rishaim are going to be taken to Gehenom in olam haba. Ve'el ma'onotan yirbatzun. And what does that mean? The tzadikim are going to go to their places. Okay, notice it says ma'onotan, which is plural. There are many places. So what does that mean, many places? Ein lecha kol tzadik v'tzadik she'ein lo mador lefi kvodo. Okay, the idea is that they're all going to be in Olam Haba, they're going to get their place, and each one is going to have his own place according to his level. Okay, so that they learn that from the word ma'onotam. It's not ve'el ma'ono, it should be, right? Ma'onotam, ma'onatam, I guess, would be the singular. Okay, right? Their ma'on. So here it's saying it's many ma'onot, so therefore each one has their own. Yetze Adam lefo'alo. So now the next pasuk, how does that work? Yatzu tzadikim lekabel scharan. Okay, so now they're going to go, right, to get rewarded for all their hard work. Ula avodato adei arev. What does this mean? B'mishe yishlim avodato adei arev. In other words, the tzadikim who finished their work in Olam Hazeh, because they worked hard and they did what they were supposed to, they're going to get their reward in Olam Haba. Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shimon. Now we're going to get to our interesting story. Okay, this is going to take us through tomorrow, really. It kind of seems to end today, but tomorrow's daf is going to pick up on it and darshan it a little bit more. Okay, the reka to this story is to know, okay, at least to the end of the story, is to know that he was very overweight. Okay, we're going to see it in tomorrow's daf. Him and the guy who the next story is about, which is also Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, we're going to learn about him tomorrow, who has a similar story told about him, also was very obese. Okay? See where this connects, and it's a little strange connection. Amar Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so this is the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Remember him? He went into the cave with his father. They came out. They burned everything, right? He was pretty zealous. We're going to see another interesting story about him. Eshkach lahu pargavna dekatafis ganve. He sees this guy that was catching ganavim. Okay, what does this mean? The king, the non-Jewish king, hired, okay, it's unclear whether this was a Jewish guy or not a Jewish guy. It's not clear from the story. But hired a guy to basically be the one in charge of catching robbers. Now, what would the king do with robbers? He would kill them, okay? He would execute them. So basically, there was this guy who was in charge of killing robbers, okay? His job was to basically find robbers, right? Now, what's going to happen if he comes to the king without any robbers? He's going to be in trouble because the king wants heads of people, right? He wants to kill people. So, Amar le, hechi yachot lehu. How are you able to do this? Lav kechiyuta metile, are they not like chayot? Dichtiv, bo termos ko chayoto yar. So, he says, one second, he says, how are you able to figure out who's a ganav and who's not? Aren't they like these chayot yar? Now, what's the assumption of chayot yar? That they're right, they're stealthy, and basically there's no way to catch them and figure out who they are. So basically, right, this is why it's connecting to that pasuk, okay? The same pasuk we had. Iga de Amri, some people say that actually this had nothing to do with that pasuk. It was from a different pasuk, he said it. Mehai kraka amrle, ye'arav b'mistar ke'aryeh. Right, that he's ambushed, he's hiding in ambush, right, waiting in ambush like a lion. Okay, bisuko. Okay, he's hiding out, waiting to attack. So again, they're tricky. And how do you know? Dilma shakal tzadike b'shavak rishi. Maybe you're making a mistake in choosing who's a ganav and who's not. Maybe you're taking tzadikim, who really are good tzadikim, and you're killing them, right? And you're leaving the rishaim, and you're actually not finding who it is. So amar le, umay yavid harmana demalka huam. Harmana de Malkahu. He says, what do you want from me? The king is going to kill me otherwise, right? And I got to provide people for the king. Amar ta egmorcha hechi tavid. He says, you know what? I'm going to teach you what to do. I'll teach you a way to catch the ganavim, to figure out who's real and who's not. Tell me if you think this is a good solution. Ol ba'arba shai l'chanuta. Go into the tavern 4 hours into the day, right? 10 o'clock in the morning. If you see people who are drinking wine and they're holding their cup in their hands and they fall asleep, okay, 10 in the morning, go find out their background. Who are they? What do they do with in their lives? If he's right, the question is, why are people falling asleep at 10 in the morning? Okay, this is good. You go to school, right? Girls are falling asleep. Think about my daughter who barely sleeps at night, and you know, she's falling asleep in class every day. At 10 o'clock in the morning, who's falling asleep? So, if they're talmidei chachamim, right, that are falling asleep, akdumei kadim legirsei, he must have woken up really, really early to study, to learn. And that's why. I poel hu kadim ka'avid avidate. Maybe if he's a poel, if he's a worker, maybe he got up really early to go to work. And if he's a night worker, we do de radid. You would assume if he's a night worker, you'd have heard his noise, but maybe he works in this with these copper strips that like you wouldn't hear, basically. It was some work that you wouldn't be able to hear and know that he was doing it. Vilo, and if he's not a worker, he's not a talmid chacham, then gam behu utapsua, okay, utapse. Then, if he's not a worker and he's not a talmid chacham, then he's got no excuse, basically, for being up in the middle of the night. The only thing he could possibly be doing is robbery. And therefore, right, he must have been up, because obviously, that's the best time for the robbers to go rob at night when everybody's sleeping. So therefore, we can assume he's a ganav, and those are the guys you should catch, okay? Now, do we think this is a good system? Questionable, right? Whether this is really, for sure, going to work or not. What happens, though? Ish tamam milta be malka. This sounds a little bit like the Yosef story, okay? The king hears who gave this brilliant suggestion. Amru karyana de igrata, the guy who reads the igaret, iule have parvanka. He should be the guy who's doing it. Meaning, right, just like they said to Yosef, oh, you interpreted this dream? You should be the one to
he wanted that.
Right, to do it. Now, here, not exactly so good, right? So now he said, ah, you came with such a brilliant suggestion. You should be the one to catch the ganavim. You must be a brilliant guy. Let's use your talents, okay? So, Achu ala Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, v'katef is ganve, okay? So he gives the job to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and he now catches ganavim. V'azal shalach le'yoshua, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, remember how we started the daf, right? I told you, you have to be, right, if you're a rabbi, you might have a higher standard, you're a community leader. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says to him, chometz ben yayin, you are vinegar, the son of wine. Your father, right? We've seen this before. And your father was wine. He was great. And you are spoiling his what he taught you. Ad mataya tamosera moshe lelokenu laharika. Okay? Look at you're basically turning over your people to be killed. Okay. Now, the assumption is, the Mefarshim say, right, what was the issue? It must be they were doing it without aiding. Okay? They were, right? They were basically killing, first of all, they were killing people. So how could he have even thought to do this, right? So first of all, you could say he had no choice, right? But then he could have, you know, tried to come up with a better system to find out who were the ganavim. This isn't a perfect system. There's no aiding. There's no anything. Some people say that it was dina de machuta dina. If the king kills, and how could he send people to their death also for killing, for theft, when in our laws we don't do that. But if the king's laws is that, then the king's laws are that, then basically he was okay in what he was doing. It just wasn't appropriate that here this leader of the Jewish people, or great Talmid Chacham, whether he was a leader or not, I don't know, but he was definitely a great Talmid Chacham, doing this was not really very appropriate.
Dina de machuta overrides Yehered Bal Yavor.
So first of all, he's not killing. He's right, he's Moser. Right. Right. It's also an issue. It's a very complicated story how exactly he was going about doing this. I think it was something in here. Just one sec, was it here? One second. Right. There's a whole thing
nothing
here. Right, so, right, the question is, he's not exactly killing, though. He is handing them over to be killed, but, you know, you never know what the king will do, whether he'll necessarily kill or not. Well, they weren't really judging people. That was also part of the problem. But there's a few interesting psakim that came up that also, in the Marotaf HaYomi, they have. One is in the times of Maram Sheikh, there was this guy who got killed, that his wife poisoned him, basically. And there was a whole question, could they turn her over to the non-Jewish authorities who were then going to kill her? And they basically said that, he didn't say you should turn her in, but he said that people who were trying to turn her in don't have to be stopped. Like, you can allow it. There was another case, which is a very interesting one. There was a Shaila asked of Rav Moshe Feinstein about someone who was going to be hired by the IRS to basically catch people who were doing tax evasion, which unfortunately we know there's a lot of Jewish people who are involved in tax evasion, and whether he was allowed to do that job because he was going to, in essence, be turning over Jews to the authorities. So he poskined that he could do it. And he said, because number one, your job is just, and this is what you can maybe compare, is just checking the paperwork. You're not actually turning people in. You're just checking whether the paperwork's valid or not. Right. So here again, you're just checking, are the people going to be? Then they catch the bad guys, you know, but you're just giving them information. And number two, said if you didn't do it, someone else would have done it. So it's not like you're actually causing something. Whereas that actually could be a little different than the story, because there you're turning people in based on sheer numbers and information, and it's more factual how you're turning people in. Whereas there's more proof to it. Whereas in this story, there wasn't actually any proof. I mean,
also,
it had its own type
for,
of proof.
You turn them in for a fine, for jail time.
Here you're turning them in for death. Right. It's also a difference between getting killed and not killed. Okay, so let's see. The story gets more interesting. Okay, every level of the story gets a little more interesting. So basically, Rabbi Shmuel Kippur and Korcha criticizes him for what he's doing. And what does he say? Shalach le kotzim ani mechalem min hakerem. He says, I'm doing holy work. I'm basically tearing out, now this is like from kilayim, okay? When you have kilayim, you have kotzim mixed up in a vine, it causes kilayim, and you have to rip out the kotzim. So he says, I'm basically cleaning out the rishaim from the Jewish people. Like, I don't see this as a bad thing, because all the people I'm handing in, I view as rishaim. Okay, this is, again, very much matches the Rabbi Shimon, who came out of the Mahara, and was very much, you know, the world is black and white. Exactly. The world is black and white. So what does he say to him? Great answer. Shalach le, yavo bala kerem v'yechlet kotzav. Okay? If God has an issue with his rishaim, he can take the kotzim out of his own field. What are you getting involved in his business, right? What he's really saying is, who are you to play God? Which is a very, you know, very relevant statement. Anyway, he doesn't listen to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korach, and he continues. Yomacha pagabehu koves. Some guy who was a launderer comes upon him. Kariyeh chometz ben yayin. He uses the same lashon as Rabbi Yeshua ben Korach, right? And he says, vinegar, the son of wine. So what happens? Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon clearly has a temper. Amar midachatzif kulehai shma mina rishiyahu. This guy must be a bad guy if he's so chutzpedik to me. So Amar lehu, what does he do? He uses his power, right? Tafsuhu. Okay, he says to the authorities, that guy's a bad guy. Catch him. Tafsuhu. So they caught him. But lebatar dinaf daate, after he calmed down from his initial anger over this guy, he felt bad. He realized, you know, I accused this guy for really no reason. Forget about the other guys who maybe I could claim were Rishayim. This guy, he just insulted me. That was it. Azal batre leperuke. He goes to try to redeem him, right? He tries to pay his way out, bail him out. Velo matze. And he can't. Okay? The authorities now won't let him. So no, you turned him in. He's in. We're going to kill him. Kare ale. Now here's a very, this could be interpreted in many ways. Okay, so it's not clear who's talking, but it seems that Rabbi Shimon is saying, Kare ale, it's said about this guy, Shomer pivu l'shono, Shomer mitzarot nafsho. If you watch your mouth, you'll be protected from tzarot nafsho. Okay, in other words, if this guy hadn't opened his mouth to insult me, this never would have happened to him. Obviously, I actually think it's a triple reference. It's also a reference to Rabbi Shimon himself, who opened his mouth to say this, you know, the whole thing that got him into this was opening his mouth to say, oh, I got a great suggestion, this is what you should do, and that got him into this whole thing. And the other thing, the guy said Chometz Ben Yayin. Why did he say Chometz Ben Yayin? Because Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha called him Chometz Ben Yayin. And if Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha had an issue, he should have dealt with it, in, you know, face to face, and don't start with insulting derogatory terms. Once you start with that, it's all downhill after that. You know, once he said it, well, if Rabbi Yerushalayim and Korcha could say it, then some other random guy could say it, and quoting it in his name. So basically, the whole story is basically saying, watch what you say. Okay? Zikafuhu, they hung this guy. Kamtute zikifa bekabache. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon goes to where they hung him, and he cries. Okay? He feels really bad. Amrulei. Rebbe, al ye rabbe einecha. So they say to him, listen, don't be too sad about this. Shehu ubeno ba'alu na'ara morasa b'yom ha'kippurim. Okay, this guy really was a Rasha, okay? Rasha of the first order. He and his son together slept with this one na'ara morasa on Yom HaKippurim, right? Bunch of averot going on there. Okay, we won't get into all of them. Hiniach yado. Okay, so now, very strange ending to the story. Hiniach yadol b'nei me'av. He puts his hands on his innards, okay, like on where his stomach is. Okay, now remember, he was obese. So, Amar, sisu b'nei me'ai sisu. You should be happy, my innards. Okay, very strange. Umas fekot shalachem kach, vade'it shalachem alacha kama v'kama. I think this is a reference to my gut, right? That's your gut reaction, your gut, right? He's saying, if you're with the one case I was so misupak about and I didn't really think I was right, I was totally right, then all my cases where I thought I was right must have been entirely right. Okay? Therefore, he says, Muftachani bachem she'ein rima v'tole ashro lete bachem. I can promise that nothing, right, you will never rot. My innards won't rot. There's some person that said that there's some issue about, you know, if you're a real tzaddik, then your innards are, you know, you never end up with stomach issues or things like that. Unclear exactly. Well, it gets now to the obesity part. But he still wasn't feeling 100% with this whole thing. Okay, he was still a little bit nervous. So what did he do? Now, some of the Mepharshim say here that he was concerned that his obesity was an indicator that he was a bad guy. Okay, that maybe, and that'll connect us a little bit to the next story about someone who did the same thing, was also obese. Okay, so somehow he wanted to do this test because he had this feeling that maybe because I'm so obese, it's a punishment for my behavior. So what does he do? He does a little surgery here. Ashkiyuhu sama deshenta. They give him some sedative to put him out. Bailu lebeta deshisha. They put him in a marble house, which is, seems to be where they did surgeries. Vikaru lekrese. And they opened up his stomach. Habumav kamine dikule detarba. They took out baskets and baskets of fat. Okay, very unpleasant. Umotve b'shimshe b'tamuz va'av. And they put it out in the summer sun. Below misrecho. And it didn't rot. And there was his proof. And he wanted physical proof that it was okay. So then they say, what do you mean? Kol tarba nami lo sarif. But any fat, once you remove it from a body, it's not going to rot anymore. So they say, kol tarba lo sarif, but shvurai ke sum ke masrich. But the red veins in the meat, in the fat, will be masriach. And ha ha afa gav di'icha shvar ke sum ke lo masriach. Okay, and even though there was this, the red veins didn't rot, and therefore, that was his proof. Kari anafshe, he said about himself, Af b'sari yishkol nevetach. Okay? Story's not over. We'll see more tomorrow. We'll try to make some sense of it, what this is doing here.